I wanted to ask a question, because when I was at Bacteria Antimania, one boy gave one class, and he was reading from a purport, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said that Srila Prabhupada said that the devotees don't have to take sannyas. And this Grihastha boy, he gave a class, he was the vice president at the manor, and he gave a class all about how you don't need to take sannyas. And a lot of devotees objected, and I wondered what Srila Prabhupada meant by that.
Well, do you know the verse? She said in one purport, Srila Prabhupada was saying that for preaching, he is not required to take sannyas. So one devotee whose household, the vice president, he's a young devotee and he doesn't have a guru, he was explaining...
He doesn't have guru?
He had Bhagavan, he doesn't have a guru. So he was saying that, using that maybe out of context, saying Prabhupada says that we don't have to take
sannyas.
Mm. So many devotees were objecting, and big debate, right?
Yeah, but he said, Srila Prabhupada said in the purport, and he
stuck to his point. Srila Prabhupada was saying in the purport that it's not required to take sannyas.
Mm.
And this devotee who was giving class kept on repeating Prabhupada's purport.
Mm. Yes. Taking of sannyas is not required at that stage when the family life is all favorable to serve Krishna. Anukulena Krishna Anushilana. If it is favorable, his wife, his children, his family member, all are devotees. All are favorable. As for example, like Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur was a grihastha. And all his family members are devotees. His wife, his brothers, all are devotees. Do you understand? So, he could serve Gauranga Mahaprabhu very nicely. Many grihastha bhaktas were there. Those who are very nice devotees are intimate associates of Mahaprabhu. Adhitacharya was a grihastha. Srivas Thakur was a grihastha. Jagadananda Pandit was a grihastha. Sivananda Sen was a grihastha. They are all grihastha devotees. But they are all devotees. Whole family. Do you understand? In that case, no need of taking up sannyas.
But we do it to set the example.
This is the example. If all the family members are not devotees, some are demoniac by nature, some create obstructions, you understand, hindrances in rendering devotional service, in that case one must take up sannyas, give up that associate family, attachment, all these things. In that case it is required. Why did Mahaprabhu take up sannyas? Then this question may be asked. He is Supreme Lord, what is the necessity of taking up sannyas and part of Mahaprabhu?
There's no need.
No need.
For our benefit. Save Mayavad, and big scholars wouldn't give him respect if he was not a sannyasi, so he took it to save the fallen soul.
No. Mahaprabhu took up sannyas because to deliver the people. That is psychological. All pay respect to a sannyasi rather than a grihastha. You understand? If a grihastha devotee will speak something, most of the people want to be so serious enough to accept it. Oh, so many are saying. If same thing is spoken by a sannyasi, it has greater effect. Oh, the sannyasi is speaking. So they take it seriously. That is why Mahaprabhu took up sannyas. First he was a grihastha. He was speaking, he was preaching, he was doing kirtan, but he found it is not so effective. It was not so effective. So he thought of, no, I must take up sannyas. So, all will accept it, and I will deliver them. I will put my feet on their head. Nobody will object because I am sannyasi. Thereby they will get mercy and they will be delivered. So he thought of, so he took up sannyas. This general notion of the public, they pay respect to sannyasi. You understand? Especially a Mayabadi sannyasi. At that time, now also, so same thing is going on. Though those who are devotees, Vaishnavas, they don't pay so much respect to a Mayabadi sannyasi. But 500 years ago, it was like that. Mayabadi sannyasis, they say, think themselves Narayana, God. And people also accept like that. On Namo Narayanayo, they say. And they meet a Mayabadi sannyasi, as if he is Narayana, God. Then say, such is the notion, such is the conception, you see, of the public. When they see a sannyasi, naturally they think like that. He's like God. So whatever he says, you must accept it. If you'll put his head on his foot on our head, we'll be blessed. You understand? They were sleeping. So now Mahaprabhu took off sannyas.
I have a question about I forget. You have a question?
If
the husband
takes sannyas,
but the wife is not ready, she's not thoroughly purified, does that mean that the husband has failed in his household duties to help his wife reach that platform where she can accept it? Does that mean it was a failure on the husband?
This is the general principle. If a grihastha wants to take up sannyas, he must first preach his wife and convince her. Should convince her why he is going to take sannyas. And wife should agree, give permission. Yes, you take sannyas. That's needed. You understand? Prabhupada has also acted accordingly. When this Asaduta was a grihastha, Bhagavan was a grihastha. When they asked for sannyas, Prabhupada said, take permission from your wife. You understand?
And now the GBC's resolution last year was that they have to have a written permission from the wife.
Yes. That is...
that correct?
Correct. Wife must give permission. Otherwise, because the husband and wife relationship means there is a bondage. Bondage. Very difficult to break that bondage. Bhagavad says also that thing. That verse in 5th canto is there. You understand? Again, wife is considered half of the body. You understand? Wife is half. Husband is what? Half. So they complete one. So when half is not prepared, other half, what can the other half do? Definitely. This thought process is there. This is very powerful. If so, wife will be always thinking of her husband, that my husband is so cruel. You understand? So merciless. that he left me and took sannyas. And be praying to the Supreme Lord. Or if the wife is the disciple of the same guru, she may be complaining before guru. So the husband cannot do any good, any advancement in his sannyas ashram. You understand? And most likely he'll again fall down. Definitely. You understand? And such thing happened to Jayatirtha. Such thing happened to Jayatirtha. Her wife, when she, his wife, was first hindrance. She didn't allow. You understand?
Seems like he was a victim of unfortunate circumstances.
Yes. Therefore, Gopal says, take permission from your wife. Because wife will come to me. She is my disciple and complain before me. So what shall I do? Why shall I give you sannyas?
Is there any other questions? Can you say it to Prabhupada? Right. I have a question.
Yeah?
Srila Prabhupada says that Maya, the last snare of Maya is that one thinks I'm supreme, I'm God. That's the last snare. Now, does that last snare, can that affect devotees in ISKCON? In other words, the way we're trained, can that still affect us, like that last snare, when we think we're Krishna?
Yes, okay, someone thinks like that, he's cut off the last snare of Maya. If someone thinks like that, it is certain that he's cut off in the last snare of Maya. Why is he thinking like that? That's not the attitude of a devotee or Vaishnava. Tunanda Vishuni Chino, Mahaprabhu Sikha. I am more insignificant than a blade of grass on the street. Why is he thinking himself God? That's great. Yes, that's my.
But it seems like the way Prabhupada explains it, as if that's a common thing for a transcendentalist. The last snare is that he thinks, oh, actually I'm God. But for a devotee, this is uncommon?
Yeah, devotee won't think like that. They won't think.
So the last snare of mine...
I am a servant of servant of servants. I am not God. That's a Vaishnava way of thinking.
So because we're being trained properly, we don't think like that?
No, never think.
Never.
Devotee, Vaishnava never think like that. I am servant. Servant of servant of servant of servants. I am like that. I cannot be God. God is one. I am his servant, servant, servant of servants. Yes. Only Mahabharata is thinking like that. Boys don't never think like that.
You don't mind I ask you these questions?
No, I shall not mind.
All right.
You have doubt, you are asking. That's all right.
You don't have any more questions? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was pleased with Srila Prabhupada when Srila Prabhupada kind of like understood his mission as far as destroying maybe caste consciousness, you know, caste system consciousness. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta would smash this idea saying that people from Western countries, any birth, in other words, by quality, by guna and karma, is more important than janma.
Yes.
And that was one of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's like main preaching points according to time and circumstances. So, Srila Prabhupada's, as we say in the morning, when we say the prayers, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gaudavani Vacharani, Nevisesha Sunyavadi Paschachata Shikarani, that to deliver the world from impersonalism and voidism. So that was Srila Prabhupada's main preaching?
Preaching. Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta has uttered that thing.
What is that?
Yes.
So what is the main preaching of the disciples of Prabhupada and the followers of Prabhupada at this present time?
The same thing?
Same thing.
Same thing. To inculcate consciousness, this Krishna consciousness, those who are devoid of that, that is the purpose. You understand? Inculcate this consciousness to them, and to them, those who are devoid of this consciousness. That is the greatest, you see, paropakar, doing good to others.
So this impersonalism comes in like different forms, like
yes, different forms.
Modern science.
Material science, like that. Yes.
So it's the same.
Same thing. Mission is same. Yeah. Mission is same.
What do you hope to achieve with this project? Obviously to get Prabhupada's mercy and please Prabhupada, but what practical...
Because Prabhupada has desire. Prabhupada has installed the cornerstone and desired that a nice temple center will come up here, Krishna Balaram temple. So disciple's duty is to fulfill the desire of his spiritual master. Thereby spiritual master will be pleased. Yes, I have to do, because he told me personally. Lord Govind, you'll stay, you'll see that this is done. So I am always thinking of that, how to do it. So when the disciples are coming to me, so I think that Prabhupada is sending these people, they are his men, to help me in this project. So I engage them in this work. Allah has helped me to fulfill the desire of Srila Prabhupada. That I can well do.
So we want to make this like a big tourist, many people
come. Yes. Many people are coming to Jagannath Puri, to Orisha. Because Orisha is called Dham, Puri Dham is a famous place. So this will attract people also. Definitely. Those who are coming to Puri, they come to Bhuvaneswar also. They will come here.
Is Bhuvaneswar in the same category of being holy Dham as Jagannath Puri?
Yes, yes. Mahaprabhu came here. Mahaprabhu did kirtan here. Mahaprabhu danced here. So this is also a holy Dham like that, Bhuvaneswar Dham. And you'll find very good description is given there in Chaitanya Bhagavata about Bhuvaneswar. Our Lord Shiva, it is Lord Shiva's Dham, place. You understand? And how Lord Shiva built and exhibited that pond of Bindu Sarovar, I was telling, place of Parvati Devi, how Lord Shiva is there. All these things, vivid description is there in Chaitanya Bhagavata. Very nice description about Bhuvaneswar. So Bhuvaneswar is a dham. So Mahaprabhu came and chanted, danced here.
Can like this temple and maybe perhaps in the future having a temple in Puri, how can this influence these caste conscious Goswamis who are just only birth, you know, and not allowing Western...
Yes, this will do nice. And thereby, their notion will be changed, definitely. When many devotees, Vaishnavas will come and preach vigorously, then that will change. Definitely.
This one devotee named Ilapati, but
yes,
I forget his sannyas name. What is his sannyas name?
I don't know.
He told me that in the Holy Dham, that if you're in the Holy Dham like Vrindavan or Mayapur, you're looking at the sun or the stars, and it's not the same sun or stars in the material world. It's everything spiritual, including the sun, and this is true.
Sun is sun. In the spiritual world, there is no sun. Isn't it? Gita says, in spiritual world, there is no sun, no moon, no electricity. Or Agni Dev, you understand? They're all in material world.
But if you're in Vrindavan, or even Bhuvaneshwar, and it's a purely spiritual place, it's not like an outpost from the spiritual world, according to what he was saying, that everything visible is not has nothing to do with the material realm. that even you've seen the stars, you've seen the sky, the sun, the moon, everything is not...
This is material sky, sun, moon, everything material here. This is material world.
It is material.
It's a material world. You understand? But devotee sees it differently. You understand? The Vrindavan Dham in Uttar Pradesh, Mathura district. The Vrindavan Dham in this spiritual world where Krishna is living eternally. That Dham came down. You understand? And just be there. This Vrindavan, it is known as Bhauma Vrindavan. Bhauma Vrindavan, we say. Bhauma means earthly Vrindavan. You understand? And Leela is also different. In Vrindavan Dham, in spiritual world, there are no demons, no demon killing. But here, Krishna killed so many demons. Aghasura, Bakasura, Tunabhattha, isn't it, Putana. So many demons Krishna killed in this Vrindavan Dham. But in spiritual world, Vrindavan, are there demons? This killing is going on? No? There are no demons. Demons are here, only in material world.
There are rumors of demons. Rumors. Rumors.
Yes. You understand? So this is known as Bhauma Leela. This earthly pastimes. Bhauma Leela. You understand? So, Krishna's Leela, when he comes down here to this material world, Leela is something different from that Leela. Not completely different, something different. Though that Leela is here, he manifests that Leela, because there always Ras Leela is going on there. And that Nitya Dham, Nitya Golok Vrindavan. Krishna is always in Ras Leela with gopis and Radharani. Krishna never kills any demons. You understand? And Krishna never, you see, there is no Indra, the god of the heaven, the king of the heaven, you see, who was angry. Therefore, Krishna has to raise Vrindavan, have Mr. Govardhan heal. It's not there. It is here. You understand? So, this Leela is something different. It's known as Bhauma Leela. And that, all this killing of demons, Krishna never does so. This Vasudeva form of Krishna does so. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. He is avatari. You understand? So when Krishna comes, all avatars automatically they are there in the body of Krishna. You understand? So Vasudeva is there. The killing of demons is the work of Vasudeva. So, apparently, it is seen that Krishna is killing, but actually Vasudeva is killing. This is the thing. You understand? So this Leela, Bhauma Leela, earthly pastime is something different from that Leela.
I have another question. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that we're worshipping devotees in our movement. We're worshipping Radha Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan because of awe and reverence. That we're in awe and reverence. Our love is not developed to that level of purity. So, as we perform sadhana bhakti, how is it? This is a little difficult to ask, but how is it that we just, as we become purified and start realizing maybe our relationship with Krishna, is it all of a sudden that you can go on the altar and steal a sweet ball from Krishna?
You can't do that. Why shall you do like that? You should not do like that. When it will offer to Krishna, then Krishna will accept and become prasad. And then when it will distribute it, then get it.
Okay.
Jack Prasad. Merci.
Is this revelation, is it just a gradual thing, or one day you just wake up and you realize your eternal position? I'm sorry to ask you this question. Maybe it's too much for me to ask it, but I'm curious to understand.
You see, when one realizes his true relationship with Krishna, he becomes a Mahatma, pure devotee. You understand? And that is very rare. It's not general. You understand? When someone is very fortunate and can realize this thing, he keeps it into himself. He never expresses it. He never expresses it. He never shows it outward. No.
Is this a gradual thing, or all of a sudden the mercy just comes?
No, this is gradual process is there. And also mercy is there, as we say, Guru Vasiddha. By getting mercy, he achieves perfection. It's Guru Vasiddha. And Sadhana Siddha means gradual process. By performing sadhana, he achieves perfection. It's Sadhana Siddha. You understand? There are categories of siddhas.
So we're performing sadhana bhakti. And maybe you can explain a little more, like I understand a little bit of what Raganuga Bhakti, spontaneous, but not really fully. Maybe you can explain definition.
That is the last platform of bhakti. You understand? Last stage of bhakti. Raganuga. Prem bhakti. You understand? But we have no prem. We have not achieved that stage, that platform. Therefore, we are doing this sadhana bhakti. You understand? We are in this platform. The Mahaprabhu stresses on it. Srimad Mahaprabhu stresses on it. Because this is meant for general people, the conditioned souls. Because conditioned souls are forgetful of Krishna, forgetful of their own identity, and they are not observing or following any rules and regulations, isn't it? Therefore he stresses on it that one should be very strict in following rules and regulations, the sadhana bhakti. You understand? And Mahaprabhu also himself was observing to preach to others, lokshikha. You understand? Mm-hmm. But in his Antya Leela, he didn't do it. But while he was preaching 24 years, total period of his stay in this material world is 48 years, 24 years grihastha ashram, 24 years sannyas ashram. So, out of that 24 years in sannyas ashram, for the first 6 years, he was a preacher. He traveled Northern India and Southern India and preached. At that time, he was very strictly following the sadhana bhakti, the rules and regulations himself and preaching. And he was an ideal sannyasi. Ideal sannyasi. You understand? But the last 18 years on the Leela, he didn't preach. He didn't go out and preach. Only he was immersed in this Radha Krishna Tattva, describing and listening from Raya Ramananda, Sarupdhamdra Goswami, their very intimate associates like Lalita Sakhi, Vishakha Sakhi in Krishna Leela. And with them, he spent his days and they were describing all these things, and Mahaprabhu was listening, and Mahaprabhu was always in that mood of Radharani, and was feeling the pangs of separation from Krishna, you see. That is last stage, Antya Leela. At that stage, this Vaidhi is not required, and that is the stage of Raganuga stage. You understand? Last stage, prema. nobody is required. Because the devotee forgets himself that he has a body. How can he follow these rules and regulations? No necessity at all. And that's the last stage, last platform. You understand? And this is achieved only by pure devotees. Those are very, very fortunate. And also, this can be achieved by a gradual process also. Doing sadhana, then they will be elevated to that stage. Some few fortunate devotees to Raganuga platform. One cannot do it or perform it artificially. This is quite natural. Natural love will develop. This will be natural manifestation. You understand? There is nothing artificiality in it. One cannot do artificially. You will find nowadays sahajyas, those are known as sahajyas. They say we are Raganuga, we are in Raganuga platform, we are not in Vaidhi platform. We won't do like you. You are Vidhi Bhaktas. You are very strictly following the rules. We can chew pan, take tea, drink tea like that, and smoke, and do nonsense with women also. Oh, we are in Raganuga platform. They are sahajyas. They are artificial doing like that. They have not developed natural brain. This is there also. You understand? One naturally who develops such Raganuga bhakti or prem, he won't display it in the public. He won't display. He sooner display and he never displays. Because people cannot understand it. Cannot understand it. You understand? Therefore, those Raganuga bhaktas, they remain in solitary places where no people can go. You understand? They are all in half stage. As I was saying, this Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Vansi Padmanabha Thakur, all this. They are in that stage. They were always away from this locality. They are staying in out of the way place, in a solitary place. You understand? They are Raganugas. They do only bhajan, they never preach. The one who will preach, will come to this society, to the public, and he'll be in Madhyam Adhikari stage. He'll step down, one step down, and strictly observe the rules and regulations himself and preach. That is preacher. But he is in that platform. But for preaching purposes, he does so. As if he is in Madhyam platform, but he is in Uttam platform. You understand? Is Paramahansa.
In the Nectar of Devotion, and maybe 10th canto, Srila Prabhupada's explaining how that devotees who are entering into a certain type of relationship with Krishna, they can do so only by following in the footsteps, like if someone is to be a gopi, they follow in the footsteps rather than trying to take their place. And I was wondering, how is it? I've heard different devotees explain that in the spiritual world, when you go to the spiritual world, you get trained up in your relationship with Krishna. Does a devotee get direct training from the spiritual master when
he goes to the spiritual master? Yes, training from the spiritual master. Training must be done by spiritual master. There is no automatic training. You understand?
In Goloka or in the spiritual world?
No. Here, in material world. There is no need of spiritual master there. They are all siddhas. In the spiritual world, all are siddhas. You understand? Well-trained persons. You understand?
But doesn't Srila Prabhupada say that before one goes back to Godhead, he first enters into a material universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes, and there he gets trained by the associates or eternal associates of Krishna?
Yes, yes.
So the spiritual
master, associate of Krishna is spiritual master.
So the spiritual master is training the disciple in that material universe when Krishna is on the planet? Or
This sort of training is required here in the material world. You understand? For the conditioned souls, not for liberated souls. You understand? Liberated souls are intimate associates of Krishna. They have come from that world, out of their causeless mercy. They have descended here to deliver conditioned souls and to teach all these things. You understand? So training is given here.
From spiritual master.
So my question is that, like Srila Prabhupada explains, that when one goes back to Godhead, a flower airplane comes and Vishnudutas, they take him right to the spiritual world.
Yeah.
So how does that fit in with first going to a material universe? Before you go to this eternal realm, you first go to a material universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes. How does that, how's the connection between the two of getting a flowered airplane?
Because one who is in material plane and one who has achieved the supreme perfection, you understand? So that aeroplane comes to him to take him back to the spiritual world. It never comes to one and all. You understand? In case of Ajamila, he's a great sinful person, who was a great sinful person. You understand? But he became a great sadhu. When Vishnudutas came, when he uttered the name of Narayana at the last stage, when Jamadutas were there, only he called his last son, whose name was Narayana. But Narayana is the name of the Lord, and so powerful. This name is so powerful that all the reactions of the sinful activities are annihilated, destroyed. You understand? By uttering Narayana. Jamadutas couldn't take him to Jamapura. You see, they are deprived. And he didn't die. He survived. And his consciousness was changed. He was repentant. So he went to Haridwar and stayed among the sadhus, the association of sadhus, and did bhajan kirtan and sadhu seva. You understand? So when the time of going, the spiritual world came, that aeroplane came to him and to give.
So I'm still trying to understand if Prabhupada actually said that, if it's true or not, whether there any shastric, reference, whether first, before you go to the spiritual world, you go to a material universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes.
You see, those who are in material platform, you understand, already in material platform, if they are fortunate enough and have accepted spiritual master and are doing sadhana bhajan and have achieved that stage of pure devotional, stage pure devotion, for them that aeroplane may come. You understand? It is not that you have to go, you are a liberated person, so you have to go to material platform and do this, then go. Do you understand? Yes.
So it's an individual thing.
Yes. So I cited the example of Amida.
Right.
Yes.
I never really knew too much about this. Does anyone have a question?
Yeah.
You're leaving all the questions for me. Yeah. Do all of the followers in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they all enter Madhurya Ras?
That is the ultimate aim.
The ultimate. For everyone, if they can reach
perfection. Yes. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that prem. Gave that prem to one and all, indiscriminately. Because that is the ultimate thing one must have. You understand? Those who are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they must achieve that platform, should achieve. If not in this life, you better to achieve in this life. Why not in this life? Yes.
Possible?
Why not? Why impossible? I don't think it's impossible.
Seems like too far away. So far away.
Yes. It seems to us. We are conditioned souls. It seems to us like that. But if we are sincere enough and very eager and truly we are completely surrendered soul, we can completely surrender ourselves to lotus feet of Guru, one of our spiritual master, and render this devotional service under his guidance, and if the spiritual master is pleased, it is possible. Impossible can be possible. Yes. You understand? If you can please your spiritual master, that can be possible. Otherwise, not possible. Still impossible. You understand? So this is only thing on our part. How best can I serve my spiritual master and please him? That day I was quoting from Krishna Sudama. You see, how Krishna himself says in 10th canto, I am very much pleased with that devotee who serves a spiritual master the best. I am not pleased by any other means, by taking up sannyas or panprastha or strict brahmachari life. I am never pleased. I am only pleased with that person or that devotee who serves a spiritual master the best. And himself set up the example how Krishna and Balaram went to the forest, and there was cyclone, thunderous rain, you see, whole night they spent in the jungle, you see, were shivering like that. They had gone there for fetching wood, you see. That Sandipani Muni, early in the morning, went to the forest and found Krishna and Balaram standing beneath a tree and shivering, all night drenched rain. So Sandipani Muni embraced them and said, oh, this body is very dear to everybody. I was quoting that verse.
Yes.
The body is very dear to everybody. But for my sake, you sustained so much pain, the bodily pain and misery for me, for my sake. This is sat-sishya. You understand? It's true disciple. one who can sustain such bodily pain for his spiritual master, for the service of his spiritual master. He has said that in such issue. He has said, because the body is very dear, you need the body.
Maharaj, is it like that one who perfectly satisfies spiritual master, he becomes a true devotee? Is it like that?
Dasya prasadat, bhagavat prasadat.
Sometimes it is said that today in ISKCON there is no, after Prabhupada there is no pure devotee. Some devotees say like that. But that should mean that nobody really satisfied Srila Prabhupada. Or is it not like that?
You don't be a speculator, Gopikanta. Don't be biased of such things. You understand? Many may say like that, but it is not a fact. Sadhu is there. Otherwise, how it goes on? It might have gone. We are deprived of that vision. We can't see. Therefore, we say, no, there is no sadhu now in the movement. It's Mahaprabhu's movement. And it is one of his pure devotees' movement. How is the movement is going on without sadhu?
For 10,000 years.
And Prabhupada said, go on for 10,000 years without sadhu.
I was thinking like that before I came here, that there must be pure devotees.
You must be hopeful like that. Must, that is, pure devotees. Definitely.
Otherwise, we have no faith.
Yeah, you have no faith. That is your mistake. You are devoid of faith. You should have profound faith in Krishna, in Shastra, in Guru. Sadhu, Shastra, Guru. You understand? So you can get, and you can realize also. And you can find, you can see also. Krishna will help you. Why are you biased by so-called sayings of some speculators? You understand? They are speculators, those who say like that, they are speculators. Not a fact. Not a fact.
Like the much like example you give, analogy to one who is born blind.
Yes. He said, I've never seen sun. There's no sun. There's no sun. Sun is there. Those who have eyes, they see sun. Why don't you accept it? I cannot see sun, so there is no sun. I cannot see a sadhu, so there is no sadhu. It is like that. Develop such an eye, vision to see sadhu. Then you can see. You understand? It is said, you can see sun. You cannot see sun now. Can you see sun now here? No? Only you can see sun by the help of sun's rays. You understand? Similarly, you can see a sadhu by the mercy of sadhu. Otherwise, you cannot see sadhu. You understand, Gopitanta? Yes. Yes.
So, how would you want your disciples to present ourselves, preach to the other devotees, because we can't preach directly to counteract their bias, mental speculation. So, what kind of examples would you want us to set?
As your guru has given example, you should speak as your guru speaks. You hear from guru, and what you have heard, just speak. I have heard this, I am speaking, not speculating. This is the process.
Even if it disturbs the minds of, well, not directly disturbing them, but like causes big controversy.
Whatever it may be, we should be bold enough to speak. We are bold, we are not afraid of anything, anybody. They are speaking the truth.
Yes. What is the difference actually to follow us
or to imitate? I heard sometimes that Prabhupada sometimes he preached very heavily to some people. He called them rascals and
yes,
such,
yes.
And he said to his disciples, but you cannot say like this. Mm. Because he didn't say why, but actually I think because he's a pure devotee, he can say like that.
Yes. That's Guru's duty. Guru karna dharam. Guru can catch all of your ear and make slapping. You nonsense rascal, what are you doing like that? Guru's duty is to make you disciplined. You are under his discipline. This is your disciple. Huh? Guru has that right. And you are blindly accepted. I accept you, my spiritual master. Please discipline me. I am very much indisciplined. Sisyateham sadhimam tvam prapannam. Remember that verse from Gita. I become your sishya. Arjuna at last says so. I accept you as my spiritual master. And become your sishya means I come under your discipline. Please inflict discipline on me. And make me disciplined. I am very, very indisciplined. Then Guru inflicts discipline. You rascal Gopikanta, why are you doing that? Slaps you. It's not imitation. Who is the Guru? Really Guru? Naturally he does so. And that is his duty. You understand? But an imitator cannot do it. It's not a question of imitation. It's a natural function. You understand? Those who are imitating, they are exposed eventually and called out. They are pretenders. You understand? They are pretenders. They are just pretending. They are hypocrites. And they are exposed. You see, Krishna will expose them. There is no question of pretension, no question of imitation. It's quite natural. You understand? We are conditioned souls. We cannot understand or we cannot distinguish or we cannot notice whether someone is pretending or whether someone is true spiritual master, whether someone is imitating or whether someone is true spiritual master and naturally manifesting all this. We cannot know it. But Krishna knows it. You understand? And Krishna, sooner or later, Krishna will expose them. You understand? But you should pray from the core of your heart to Krishna. Oh Krishna, please help me to get a bona fide spiritual master. Who is your devotee? Who is your real and bona fide representative? I want such a person. I want to take shelter at his feet, to go back to you, to your lotus feet. Please help me. That's your duty. And Krishna will help you. And he in his Paramatma form in your heart. When from the core of your heart you are saying and praying, then Krishna knows it and he helps. He makes arrangement. And that's a fact. You understand? Understand now? Yes. But if you are not so eager and you are not offering such prayer from the core of your heart, and in some subtle corner of your heart or thinking process, you want to be cheated, then Krishna will give you a cheater. All right, be cheated. As Prahlad was cheated. Two times cheated, you see.
I think I may be the first one in England to take a guru for the third time.
Third time, you see.
I'm the first one, maybe.
Yes.
It's my claim to fame.
This was, the Lord was not so eager, so serious. He was just like a flock of sheep following. God dwelleth in Sukunya. You understand? And the sheep follow the headman in the front. If he jumps into a ditch, all will jump into a ditch. They'll never go by the other way. Similar. But this is not applicable in the spiritual platform. No. One must be serious enough and individually. That is up to him. He should be very serious and should know things very clearly. He should clarify his all doubts and be convinced. And symptoms are there. Who is a real sadhu, real devotee, Vaishnava, and just see it personally or test it personally and accept him. Don't be biased by somebody saying. Don't be like a flock of sheep following the head man, head sheep. You understand?
Can disciple, like we become pure devotees, and these former persons who were our so-called gurus before, maybe they helped us a little bit in our spiritual life. We can deliver them?
We can?
Help their spiritual life, give them benefit. In other words, we go back to Godhead and they're still in the material world.
You will help them?
Can, is it possible?
You?
Yes.
Yes, it can be possible. Yes, that is in Shastra. The disciple, if the disciple finds that his spiritual master is doing some wrong, you understand, he's doing some wrong. Because the disciple has heard, now he has done sravanam, what is real spiritual and what is not spiritual. So, if he could see and find that his spiritual master is doing something wrong, so he should tell him frankly, come, go to him, the spiritual master, pay your dandavat, obeisances, and oh my spiritual master, I have come to you, and you should say it lonely, lest there should be anybody. Only spiritual master and yourself. You understand? And don't say it before others. That will be very bad. You understand? That is in Shastra. I marked something from my spiritual master and it came to my mind. So I have come to you to say that thing. Then you say, that I find you are doing such and such thing which is not good, which is not according to sadhu and shastra, thereby you are going off the path, and thereby it will be harmful to you, to us also. So I request you, you please rectify yourself. The disciple can say so. And if guru is a real Vaishnava, devotee, will gladly accept it. Yes, thank you very much that you give me such indication and you showed me my defects of which I am blind. It's quite natural. One is blind to his own defects. It is very hard to see the other's defects, but is blind to his own defects. And if it is shown by others, the Vaishnava is very happy, becomes happy. Yes, yes. You have done very good to me. You have helped me. Yes, I will rectify myself. I'll be careful. So this is all right. He will accept in this way. Otherwise, he will angry on you. So in that case, you should know that he is not a Vaishnava at all. So immediately reject him. Finish. Yes, that is in the Shastra. Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
You used to say in the class that the Krishna pastime, they are five men relation.
Five men relationships, yes.
But when Lord Krishna came as Gauranga,
they have four.
Only four.
Mm. No Santa.
Yes, no Santa. Mm. Can you explain
what?
Different, why is no Santa?
No Santa. Why no Santa?
Yes.
Because that is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Santa Bhakti, in Santa Rasa, there is no activity. There is no activity. Do you understand?
Yes.
Santa Bhaktas are they, the trees, the mountains, they are in Santa platform in Vrindavan. Do you understand? And they are not active. There is no activity. Do you understand? And Mahaprabhu's movement is full of activity. Do you understand? Full of activity. A bhakta is active 24 hours. 24 hours he is active. How to please Guru or Gauranga. You understand? So there is no question of Santa. You understand? So that is cut off Santa. We don't want Santa Rasa. Yes?
How is this Santa Rasa to be understood? If there is no activity to please Krishna, what kind of Rasa is it?
It's like trees in Vrindavan.
Yes,
like hills in Vrindavan.
Like if
you Govardhan.
If a condition soul have that rasa, how is it within this condition, material condition, how is it manifested here?
It is manifested here. That means you are never active. We just meditate. Like meditators, dhyan yogi. Not engaged in devotional service. They are in Santa Rasa.
In this seminar, we once were told that in the Santa Rasa, there is the possibility to fall down. From that's...
They may fall down. Yes, possibility is there.
But still...
Yes, possibility is there.
But in Santa Rasa, they are not in the spiritual world?
Spiritual world is there. Yes, Santa Rasa is there in spiritual world.
But still they can fall down.
Here, in material world. But in spiritual world. Here in material world, one who is in Santa Rasa, there is possibility of falling down. You understand? Therefore, Mahaprabhu has discarded it. No Santa.
But
Chari Bhava Bhakti Diya Nachamu Bhuvan. Mahaprabhu says, I will make the whole world dance. Santa devotee never dances.
But Maharaj, if this Santa Rasa devotee attains perfection, if they come to the spiritual world, then they can never fall down.
Yes, there is no question of falling down in the spiritual world. It is a question here, in the material world, Baba. But in Mahaprabhu's movement, he has discarded Santa, because it is full of activity. Then Mahaprabhu says, Chari Bhava Bhakti Diya Nachamu Bhuvan. I will make whole world dance. Chari bhava bhakti. Lasya sakya vasila matriya. Not Santa. So we are the followers of Mahaprabhu. So no question of Santa is there. We want to engage ourselves, active.
24 hours.
24 hours activity. You understand?
What is susupti? I never understood. We were taught about
sukruti.
Susupti.
Susupti.
Maybe I didn't get it right. Some is one living in the
enter into Mahavishnu, kind of sleeping.
Mahavishnu are sleeping.
As I understood it, like the entity, the jiva is sleeping in Mahavishnu.
Jivas are sleeping in Mahavishnu.
Yes,
when there was pralaya, complete annihilation, the soul centered into the body of Mahavishnu and lie there until the next creation. And the next creation comes up, they come out from the body of Mahavishnu. That means they were in Mahatattva. The whole Mahatattva enters into the body of Mahavishnu. So with Mahatattva the jivas come out. Then everything is manifested, the Brahma creates everything, is empowered. So jivas in previous millennium, in what form one was, he came out in that form. He comes out in that form.
But is it this Mahavishnu's sleep is called Yoga Nidra?
Yoga Nidra, yes.
Yes. But this teacher said that the living entity is also sleeping.
Yeah, during that period they are lying there. They are lying, sleeping like that, yes. No activity there at that time.
Unconscious, yes.
Unconscious.
No, no,
yes.
Memory.
No. No, no memory.
But Mahavishnu is all the time meditating to his Yoga Nidra.
Yes, yes. Mahavishnu is one of the expansions of Krishna. His first Purusha avatar, first Purusha incarnation, Mahavishnu. Yes. You understand?
Kumash, I didn't finish our rasa. Not different rasa. And then when I read songs written by great acharya, Vaishnava, like Narottam Das Thakur, they pray always to become maid servant.
Yes.
Like 2 or 3 years, like that.
Maid servant of Radha Rani.
Yes, Radha Krishna.
Yes.
And last time I asked question, and that's true, Krishna himself said as well that he is only Bhokta, he is enjoyer, and he's only, and then I said also something Prabhupada said through Bhagavad Gita, that living entities, though they are part and parcel of Krishna, Supreme Lord, they belong to Prakriti. They
Prakriti,
belong to Prakriti,
yes,
that means, and you give example, male and female.
Female, yes.
And also, the devotee, they say like that, in the old devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That means the best relation in the spiritual world is the relation between Krishna and gopis.
Yes. Yes, that's the best relationship. Madhurya relationship. That is the best relationship, yes. And Mahaprabhu gave that prem, the last one. You understand? No? Four are there, rasa, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya.
Yes.
But predominating rasa is madhurya. You understand?
Yes.
Yes.
A few weeks ago, I was in Vrindavan, and I was taking a rickshaw, and I was joking with the rickshawwala, and I said to him, I said, Bolo Hare Krishna. And he wouldn't chant. I said, you're in Maya, chant Hare Krishna. And he said, no need. He said, Krishna is in my heart.
Krishna is in my heart.
So yes. I was trying to understand, is because his bridge bhasi is where it's like conditioned soul has a paramatma feature only and it's covered. Is bridge bhasi in a category where he can realize Krishna in two-armed form with flute and peacock feather directly because he's a bridge bhasi, he's on that level?
Yes, bridge bhasi means cowherd boys or cowherd men. And cowherd women, cowherd girls, they are brajbasis. You understand? Those who were at that time, when Krishna had come here, you understand, who were taking part in Krishna's pastimes, they were brajbasis. They had come down from that spiritual world to help in the pastimes of Krishna. They are Brajbasis. And that Brajbhumi, Vrindavan, is also a very good dham, you understand? First-class dham, Vrindavan dham or Mathura dham. Because Krishna had performed his leela there, in this material world, you understand? Therefore, the dham has its quality, you understand? If someone resides in that dham, automatically he gets some benefit, definitely. And those who are very fortunate, they are born there and they stay there. So Mahaprabhu has given five important things, you see. When he taught to Sanatana Goswami the 64 items of sadhana bhakti, at last he speaks of five main. Sadhu Sangha, Nam Kirtan, Bhagavad Sravan, Mathura Vaso, Srimurti Rasodhai Archal. These five. Panchar Alpa Sangha Krishna Bhakti Janmai. He says this thing. At least one must do these five. Sadhu Sangha. Associate with sadhus, pure devotees. If you do Sadhu Sangha, four, automatically you get four. Sadhu Sangha Nam Kirtan, Sadhu does Nam Kirtan. Isn't it? Sadhu Sangha Nam Kirtan, Bhagavad Sravan. Sadhu speaks from Srimad Bhagavatam. So automatically that is done, Bhagavad Sravan. Mathura Vasa, Dham Vasa. Mathura means where Krishna had appeared. Krishna's birthplace is known as Mathura. You understand? That is dhambas. If you are dhambas, to stay in a dham, like Mathura, that is Mathura vas. You understand? Staying in Mathura. But if you associate with a sadhu, if you do sadhu sangha, automatically you have it. Because, do you listen to me? Automatically you will have it. Because when a sadhu speaks about Krishna, Krishna is there. Krishna appears there. You understand? So that place automatically becomes Mathura. The appearance place of Krishna. You need not go to Uttar Pradesh. That Mathura. You understand? And another thing we may say that if this is the instruction in the whole world, all right, let us, we all go to that Mathura and stay there. Mathura is such a limited place. How can it accommodate the whole world? Impossible. Then what? Then the people think, what is that? It is said Mathura Vas. We'll stay in Mathura. We come to Mathura and there is no accommodation. What shall we do? No, it is not a fact that you associate with the sadhu, real sadhu. If you are devotee, when he does kirtan and speaks of and Krishna, automatically Krishna appears there, that place becomes Mathura. That's Mathura Vas. And the fifth one is Srimurti Rasodhai Sevan. If you are a grihastha, then keep deities in your house and do archan. Atmamat Seva. And render service, dwarchan, seva puja, worship everything, offering arati, prasad everything, as if he is Krishna himself. And if you are in the temple, we have deities, dosalma. This is instruction. This five. At least one should do this five. Then automatically Krishna bhakti will develop. You understand?
Sorry, I got your point.
Yeah.
I wanted to get back to Vrijvasis in Vrindavan. Sometimes we see them externally.
Those who are in association with Sadh Sadhu, they are Vrijvasis. Vrijbhumi appears there. This is my point.
What about the residents who are living in Vrindavan and they're smoking bidi and doing all kinds of nonsense, but the Prabhupada said we shouldn't get too intimate with them. Are they still on a high level?
They had some sukruti, so they were born in that land. You understand? They had some sukruti, therefore they are born in that land. But due to bad association, they are not doing sadhu sangha, so they are doing this nonsense. But sukruti is there. You understand? And they are misusing it. So, next birth, they will be punished for that. You understand? Yes. Vrijvasi means he must be a devotee and he must, one who loves Krishna, he must love Krishna. All Vrijvasis are loving Krishna very much. So, he is Vrijvasi who loves Krishna and follows his instructions. But by dint of your previous sukruti, you are born in this land, Vrijbhumi, but you have not developed Krishna prema. Therefore, you are not following his instructions. So, you are doing nonsense, smoking bidis like that. Of course, in Vrijbhumi, nobody eats fish or meat. Nobody eats fish and meat. In market, you will never find the fish and meat is being sold there. No such thing.
No.
Yes, no.
University?
No. That speciality there.
Egg?
Eggs? Egg also.
Oh, no egg.
No.
Pure vegetarian.
Pure vegetarian there. A speciality there. But they have given so much facilities because they had sukrutis. And if they can accept, if your devotee, your guru, and do sadhana bhajan under his guidance, so they will be elevated to the perfectional stage, this very life.
So they need guru also.
They need. Yes, they need. Without the help of guru, how can they go? They need.
I was always under the impression that they take birth without requiring a spiritual
birth. Because they have taken birth there, because they are sukrutis. But they should utilize it. There are many favorable circumstances now. Good birth. And they were born in dham, it's favorable. Since they have got some favorable circumstances, but they should utilize it. You understand? If someone will not utilize, how can he get it?
They take birth as an animal in Vrindavan,
yes,
and then
yes.
Go back to Godhead after that?
You see, one who is born as an animal in Vrindavan, he has also sukruti. You understand? Because a stool-eater hog is there. You find hogs. They eat stools. But they are in Vrindavan. They are born in Vrindavan. But next birth, they will be human beings. And they will be devotees. Then they will go back.
And they still have to approach a spiritual master.
Yes. When they will burn as human beings, they will accept spiritual master and do sadhana and go back. This facility is there for them. You understand? They have not to undergo any species, other species.
What about for a Vrijvasi? He doesn't have a spiritual master, but he's following the regular principles and maybe associating with devotees chanting Hare Krishna. He does a little service. Does he go back directly to back to Godhead?
Without the help of Guru, one cannot go. He needs help.
Even Vrijvasi.
Even Vrijvasi needs help. Because he is in the material world. is in the material world, is a conditioned soul, not a liberated soul. But he had some sukruti, he is born there. As many favorable circumstances, he has got that thing. So, but he must accept a bona fide spiritual master. Under his guidance, he should render service.
So I'm always under the impression that there's no need to preach in the Holy Dham. But now I understand that a lot of preaching is required everywhere.
Yes, preaching is required everywhere. Everywhere it is required.
But then, we'll just understand...
Another thing I would say, that suppose one is very much elevated person, say he is a Nitya Siddha. You understand Nitya Siddha? Eternally liberated person. And he has come down here. You understand? He is naturally a Vaishnava. If someone speaks to him about Krishna, he'll very gladly listen. And he'll thank you. Thank you very much that you tell me about Krishna. He'll never say, don't say, I know Krishna. He'll never say like that.
Yes.
He's naturally a humble man, humble person. You understand?
And the Sugumaji, that means he wants also, by his own example, help others, accepting Guru, that's Nitya Siddha.
Oh.
He must, by his own example, teach others by accepting Guru.
Yes. And Nitya Siddha teaches by example. Yes. By example, he teaches. He accepts Guru, so he teaches others to accept Guru. But you will never accept Guru while you say accept Guru. You have no right to say. You understand?
Which means that's why Lord Krishna himself,
he accepted Guru. Gauranga Mahaprabhu accepted Guru. All have accepted Guru. Otherwise, how can they teach people? They can't teach people.
Problem. Is no other means.
I'm saying the problem now in ISKCON is the preaching is so, amongst the devotees, so watered down that they've forgotten this principle of the importance of the spiritual master. Now I come here and I hear your tapes and I come here and I speak with you and I'm really getting realization that this is like some substance of spiritual advancement to accept the spiritual master.
One must accept. Without the help of spiritual master, you cannot go back home back to get it. No. You can't go.
So there's a lot of preaching that going needed even amongst the devotees.
Yes.
They really need to hear.
Now they have become speculators, I think. As Gopikanta says. Yes, so many speculation is going on now in ISKCON. Therefore we produce such paper of re-initiation. Many things is discussed there. It will help them, I think.
I will see when I go back to the West what the condition is.
Yes, what the condition. You speak boldly. Don't be afraid.
Give me your mercy so I can speak boldly, so I can have some brain substance to be able to communicate.
Yes.
I need mercy to
be able to speak. Mercy will be
joy.
Showered on you. You'll be empowered.
Thank you.
Don't be afraid. Speak boldly. I'm not speculating what I have heard. My spiritual master, Sadhu Shastra Guru, I was telling that thing. If someone speculates, he will be afraid. Yes, I'm speaking from my own speculation. Don't speak from your own speculation. Just speak boldly what you have heard from your spiritual master. That is according to Sadhu Shastra and Guru. Why be afraid?
Should we speak about saying that one must approach an Uttamadhikari, or should just keep that under the hat?
You never stress on Uttamadhikari. One must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Just say these words, bona fide. Then some argument may come up. Don't enter into that argument. Use bona fide. What bona fide?
Who is a bona fide automatically?
That's different question. If someone asks who is bona fide, that's next question. But all know this word bona fide. That's all right.
Srila Prabhupada always use that word.
That word bona fide.
Guru Maharaj, I have one question. Because when we preach, when we're preaching, many people they ask, people know a little bit about our philosophy.
Yeah.
They ask that question, said, why if it is free soul, is free soul is not man or
woman.
Woman.
Yes.
And why in Krishna Lila, for example, glorify Krishna's Lila in Vrindavan also, and then many people they ask that question, why Krishna is a man and his associates mean gopi is a woman? Why that representation? So myself, you know, I can answer properly to that question. So
spirit soul is neither male or female. That's all right. But the rasa samandha, you understand? When the question of this relationship of mellow comes up, then it comes up. Madhurya rasa means, which is the topmost rasa, you understand? Is lover and beloved. You understand? That is gopi bhav. You understand? That is gopi bhav. Lover is one lover, is Krishna. Krishna is the only object of love. As we are prakritis, we are feminine gender. You understand? And it's better to have gopi deha, the body of a gopi. You understand? The body of a gopi. Therefore, those who are gopis in Krishna Leela, in Gauranga Leela, they have the body of a male. You understand? As Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami, they were gopis, Lalita Sakhi, Visakha Sakhi, but they were Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami in Gaura Leela. You understand? But the mood is like that. Though, apparently, the body is male body, still absolute, in absolute consideration, that is gopi deha, the body of the gopi. You understand? And though apparently the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a male body, but that is the body of Radharani. You see, this is absolute consideration. Therefore we say tattva vichar. Not above vichar. Not apparent consideration, but absolute consideration. You understand me? Yes.
And all the devotee, Sarudamdar, all that.
Yes.
They internally they feel the mood really.
Gopis. They are gopis. They were gopis. Yes. Yes.
But you can say spiritual means internal.
Yes, internal. And spiritual master is also one of the gopis. Nikunja Yuno Rati Kali Siddha. He is one of the gopis, you see. He has come here as a spiritual master. The mood is like that. In many songs you will find, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Tabe hava amar adhar dasi. When I shall be a maid servant of Radharani.
Yes. Nisham Narottam Das.
They have all sang like that. Sung like that. You understand?
Yes.
So the mood is like that. You understand?
Yes.
It is all absolute. It's not apparent. Apparently, they may have male body, but in absolute consideration, they are the maid servants of Radharani. You understand?
The what difference between love of Krishna, Radha Krishna, and others, followers, I mean, other gopis? What? Because we said Radha and Krishna, and then besides Radha Krishna, there's other gopis. What's the mood of the gopis and Krishna and Radha and Krishna?
You see, we must be followers of gopis.
Yes.
Because gopis are very intimate with Radha Krishna. You understand?
Yes.
Yes, that's our thought. We must be followers of gopis. You understand? We cannot directly approach Radha Krishna. No. We go through gopis. So, spiritual master is one of the gopis. So go through him. You understand? Yes.
And how is it possible that we're saying many, we know very well that Radha Krishna is a divine?
Yes.
Divine couple, isn't it?
Yeah, divine couple. Yes.
At the same time, Krishna, it said that Radha is chaste. Radha is chaste.
No, chaste
means
chaste, sati.
And then at the same time, Krishna is the husband of gopis.
Yes.
So how can we explain that?
What is that?
That at the same time, Radha is the beloved of Krishna.
Yes.
And at the same time, Krishna hears all gopis as husband. He has been of all gopis.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Radha, he loves other gopis. There's no jealousy in the spiritual world.
No?
Jealousy.
Jealousy in the spiritual world. There's no question of jealousy in the spiritual platform. Yes. If one is jealous, he cannot make any advancement in this path. That's definitely. That's known as Matsarjya. Vaishnava is nirmoshara, is free from jealousy.
Amen.